The Church Media Podcast, episode 176, The Heart of a Worship Leader, with Meredith Andrews, part one. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio, lighting, video, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Well, welcome to 2019 and another big year for us here at 1230 Media. We have a lot of things happening in our ministry this year. We can't wait to start rolling stuff out to you. If you are new to the show, let me tell you what our ministry is all about. We exist to help churches, ministries, and artists transform their worship experiences. We do that by providing high-quality, off-the-shelf, ready-to-use media content that we call worship media. We also provide custom media content. That's any custom graphic design or video production need that you might have for your screen. And the final avenue in which we serve you guys is through our training resources. That's our blog, our podcast network, and other resources where some of the best minds in church world share how they are creating engaging, dynamic worship experiences every week. So, we help you with your worship experience through worship media, custom media, and training. Now, let me define another term for you. What is a worship experience? Well, we define it as a large group gathering of believers that engage in worship and teaching. It's a worship service. So, what kinds of worship experiences do we help you create? We want to help you with your regular weekend experiences for adults, students, and kids. We also want to help you with your seasonal experiences. That's holidays like Christmas, Easter, special events. If you have a camp, a conference, a concert, we're here for you as well. We provide media for your screens and training in first impressions, production, worship, volunteers, anything that goes into that experience. So that's what we're all about here at 1230 Media. Our podcast, this one, the Church Media Podcast, is all about helping you with your worship experiences for adults. And then our Youth Room Podcast is all about helping student pastors and leaders with their student programming and experiences. More to come on that throughout the year, but I want you to know who we are and what we're about and engage with us. We want you to follow us on social. We want you to email us, call us, reach out to us. We're here for you. Okay, today we're going to take a dive into the topic of worship leading. Worship is a huge part of your experience. Your worship leader can be one of the driving forces for the journey that you're taking your audience on. It is imperative that this person conveys the heart of your church. So, what should the heart of a worship leader look like? If you're a worship leader listening, today you're going to hear about how to handle spiritual warfare. What are the best ways to engage your audience and know if they are engaging with you? How to know when a song has run its course and other great content. You'll hear my interview with an old friend of mine, Christian music recording artist Meredith Andrews. Meredith and I grew up in the same small town of Wilson, North Carolina. My father was the pastor of Forest Hills Baptist Church, and Meredith attended Farmington Heights Church of God in Wilson. But in our student ministry, we had a network where all the youth pastors would get together and knew each other really well. They formed these student teams with a couple of students from each church to come together and produce events a few times a year. Meredith and I served on that team together as teenagers, so we knew each other way, way back in the day. And we've seen each other in passing or online over the years, so it was great to reconnect with her and her husband, Jacob. They have a great family. She was in Chicago for a while and has since moved to Nashville. You'll hear her story in just a minute. I invited Meredith on the show because I want you to hear from a powerful worshiper. I want you to hear from someone who embodies the heart of a worship leader. All right, let's jump right into part one of my interview with Meredith. I'll be back on the backside of the interview to wrap things up. Here we go.
This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is church media coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, today I welcome by phone Christian music recording artist Meredith Andrews. Her popular songs are sung in worship experiences and on radio stations worldwide. She's won GMA Dove Awards for Praise and Worship Album of the Year for As Long as It Takes and Worship Song of the Year for How Great is the Love. She's been on tour with Natalie Grant, Big Daddy Weave, Jason Gray, and dozens of other artists. She's also an old friend of mine. Meredith, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Now, before we get rolling, I will tell our folks that Meredith and I actually grew up in the same town of Barbecue Land, Wilson, North Carolina. We worked on several projects as teenagers. So, Meredith, you're probably one of the only guests I've had that may have more dirt on me than I have on you.
Well, I don't know that I can remember that far back, honestly, Carl.
No, I can't either.
So I think you're good. You're safe.
Okay, good. We actually saw each other recently at the GMA Dove Awards in Nashville, down in the front of the arena, and in the midst of a sea of skinny jeans. It was nice to see a familiar face. What did you and Jacob think of the Dove Awards this year?
Well, I thought they were amazing. The last 2 years have been, I feel like they've stepped up their game a little bit, but it's always really cool to come together for a night at the Doves because it gives everybody a chance just to see what God is doing through Christian music, if you will. And there's so many different kind of layers of that and even genres within Christian music, whether it's worship or gospel or hip-hop or CCM. And so it's just really cool for everybody to get together and just celebrate what God is doing through what we all know and love and just to get to champion one another. And that's what I feel like the Doves are. So that's what it was for me again this year.
Yeah, I thought it was a great night of just kind of seeing the variety of artists. And what everybody, you know, they're different kind of lanes. You know, there was obviously gospel and kind of rock stuff and more CCM kind of stuff and a little bit of comedy. Yeah. And it was just kind of all over the place. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so for those who may not know about you, give us a little bit of your journey from Wilson to Nashville and in between. Okay. Give us the quick tour a little bit.
Yeah, okay, I'll try to keep it short. I did grow up in the tiny town of Wilson, North Carolina, and a little church as well, and basically was there every time the doors were open. My parents were super involved, and I grew up under a pew, and I actually loved it. I loved being a church girl. I loved the community there, and when I was about 12, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 5, 3 weeks in a row at church just to make sure. And then when I was 12, I started singing backup and playing tambourine for our youth band. And then that kind of evolved into me playing keys and leading worship for our youth band. We had a youth night of worship or like a youth service every week on Saturday nights called the Potter's House. And that's where I just I learned what worship was. And that's where God began to cultivate this desire in me for his presence. And it wasn't about music as much as it was I just wanted to be closer to Jesus. And I loved experiencing his presence and encountering him with other people, as well as, you know, in my room with my Delirious CDs or my old Darlene Check CDs.
Yes.
You know? So, but when I was 17, I went to a Rebecca St. James concert because she was also one of my favorites. And I remember that night going forward. It was in Greenville, North Carolina at ECU, and I went forward, and because she kind of gave this invitation for people, just if there's something on their hearts that they needed to surrender. And I went forward because as I was watching her that night, as I was being ministered to her by her, ministered to by her, I remember just feeling like, wow, God, I want to do something with my life like this. It's like this burning desire inside of me, but it's not what I want. It's whatever you want. So I went forward, and I was just like, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm up for it. And in that moment, Carl, God just said to me so clearly, just whispered to my heart, Meredith, be faithful where I've placed you. And, you know, at the time, I'm just leading worship at my church and writing songs and going around to, like, little area churches near us and singing these new songs that I'm writing. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to be faithful in this. And then I went on to Liberty and led worship at Liberty University. And then while I was there, I was offered a job by a pastor in Chicago at Harvest Bible Chapel, and ended up in Chicago in 2006. And that was also the year that I started going to Nashville to write. Had just been invited by a couple songwriters and started coming down about once a month and would write songs and take meetings with labels. And it was nothing that I, you know, sought out for myself. It was just the Lord kind of bringing people into my path and opening doors. And, you know, it was me just trying to be faithful where He'd placed me, on staff at a church, and then, you know, continuing to write songs and explore that avenue. So I signed a record deal when I was, I guess I was 23 or 4. Yeah, 24, which was also the year that I got married and then released a record, and it was just a little bit, it was crazy. But yeah, my first album with Word came out in 2008, and I'm about to release a live project early in 2019. So that's kind of been, in a nutshell, my journey. We did move to Nashville 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, remained on staff at Harvest for the first 2 years that we lived here, but that just got a little bit nuts. So, and we just felt like we needed to be planted in Nashville. God had called us here, and we just needed some community here. And so instead of flying to church every other weekend, we said we need to be grounded here. And we still write with Vertical and love those people. We just say we're the big brother and sister that moved away, and we still go back to visit and write with that team, but just feel like God has called us to Nashville for this season.
That's awesome. Now that we've kind of talked about your Christian music career a little bit, I want to kind of get into a different topic because, you know, when you're in an interview, it's usually about your songwriting, music, being on stage, that sort of thing as a Christian music recording artist. And we're going to get into a little bit of that, but I want to kind of dive into you as a worship leader. We serve a lot of worship leaders through our ministry with content, with training, with helping them with their worship experience. So I want to kind of dive into that topic with you a little bit. So let's start with the basics. So help me define a worship leader. What are the marks of a good worship leader?
Oh, Carl, so here's the thing, like I'm a worshiper at heart. Like that is my thing. Like, you know, just kind of giving you a little bit more backstory. When I started putting out records with Word, everybody was asking me, well, are you an artist or are you a worship leader? I'm like, why can't I be both? Mm-hmm. You know? And so there was always this tension within me because I didn't feel like I was writing songs that were necessarily for the church. That wasn't the natural thing that came out of me. But then I started just kind of honing in on that. And that's my world right now. I love worship leaders, people that are serving in the church week in and week out. And so a worship leader, to me, has to first be a worshiper because, you know, worship leading isn't a gig that you jump into because some musical ambition didn't get fulfilled elsewhere. Being a worship leader is first being a worshiper, being someone who knows what it is to be a lead worshiper, someone who has spent time in the presence of God, who has sung out a new song to the Lord behind closed doors, because we can't take people where we haven't been ourselves. And worship is simply a response. Well, I wouldn't say simply. It's actually very layered and very complex, but it's what we were created to do. But at its core, it is a response to who God is and who we know Him to be. So when we get a glimpse of who God is, our only natural response is to go, God, You are worth my sacrifice. You are worth my praise. You are worth my songs. You are worth my life. And that is worship.
I think you can really tell if you're in the audience looking on stage or experiencing a worship set in a worship experience, you can tell when the leader on stage is a worshiper themselves, when it's genuine for them and they're not putting on a show or a front or a mask or, hey,
absolutely,
look at me. You know, you can really tell. And how does that, I mean, I know I see it come through, but how do you make sure that that's a genuine experience? outpouring. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you make sure that it's not a show and it's really you worshiping? How do you do that?
Well, I think about that scripture in Matthew, I believe, when Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so when I think about that, I go, Jesus is the treasure of my heart, and I have to always make sure that he is, because once it becomes about the music, or it becomes about the job, or it becomes about the road life, or it becomes about, you know, the trying to please the people above me, then I've actually misplaced my treasure. And so as long as I keep Jesus as the treasure of my heart, then what flows out of that will be authentic worship, and it will be not a performance, not a show, I just have to get the job done, but it will be, I love to lead worship because I love the presence of God, because Jesus is the treasure of my heart.
Good. How do you go about planning your sets? Now, I know this can be interesting because you've had your experience at Harvest and then your experience as a recording artist and on the road, but how do you plan your sets? Are they planned for you, or how do you craft the set of songs that you think an audience needs to hear?
Yeah, well, it all depends. And, you know, when we were at Harvest, we had a very specific philosophy of picking songs. And just briefly, I'll share that because I think it's a very helpful kind of system. We would have songs that were categorized 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Now, there's nothing special about that naming system or anything like that. It was just a 1 was a gathering song. It was we're ascending the hill of the Lord. We're coming together. It's kind of a welcoming, let's focus our hearts, like Open Up the Heavens would be a gathering song. And then like a 3 song would be a testimonial song, like, this is who God is to me. This is what he has done for me. Therefore, I will worship him because of who he is to me in my life. And then a 5 song would be a pure ascription song, like a song of heaven. You know, in Revelation, when you read about what all of heaven is singing, there's really very little mention of the saints of God, and only focus on the Lamb of God. You know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So a pure ascription song is something like that. And so the 2 and the 4 would be transitional, like going between. Like a 2 would be a song that maybe has a little more content, because it's hard maybe to get people on board. In the first song, they're coming in, they're maybe like have a spat with their spouse, or, you know, taking their kids to kids' church, and they're running late, and they're a little bit frazzled. So that's why it's so important to have a song that kind of focuses our attention and says, this is why we're here. And then the second song could be something with a little more meat on the bones, like Blessed Be the Name, on the road marked with suffering, when there's pain in the offering, Blessed Be Your Name. Because we want our people to be able to sing a song that has that kind of rich content, but it might take them a little bit to get there, if that makes sense. Mm. And then a 4 song would be another transitional song, but it's a transition between a 3 and a 5. So maybe the verses have testimonial content and the choruses are more pure ascription. So it's kind of that transition. And to me, it's a natural progression of we're starting at the bottom of the hill and we're getting up to the top, you know, just like the Israelites would do when they would go into the temple. They would ascend the hill of the Lord and they would go into the temple courts, and then we're moving into the holy place and then into the holy of holies. And so that's kind of the idea and the philosophy that I was trained in at Harvest that has been so helpful to me, and I've carried it on as I've planned sets, because I want people to remember who God is. That's the thing that I want them to be, to take away, not, you know, oh yeah, that was a great song, or, you know, this is even what it means to me. But I'm just saying, like, my focus and my full attention is on Jesus. And so, that was very helpful, even in just moving forward. And then for sets, when I'm just like, on the road, you know, they're a little bit different, because a lot of times I'll have sets that are worship focused, where, you know, people will ask me to come solely lead worship. And then there will be other sets where you know, it's more of like a kind of a ministry time. So I will be able to, you know, just sing songs over people. But as a whole, I mean, I think like when you're talking about planning worship sets or you're talking about picking songs for a worship set, I think really the heart behind it is just to be intentional. You know, sometimes it makes sense to pick songs so the keys can flow into each other, but I don't think that's the thing that we need to be bound to. I think that it's more about how is this going to flow and how is it going to take us on a journey so that people are encountering the presence of God and they're getting a higher view of God, and maybe there's a theme that's underlying. But I really love the idea of ending on a song that is pure ascription, that is talking about the greatness and the holiness of God, the character of God, what he's like, and lifting our eyes above our own perspective and our own circumstances, getting our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Good. I think we can agree that one thing that people may not realize about those in ministry is how the enemy hits, is how he can come at us so strongly, hitting our thoughts or our family, maybe the people that we least expect, bringing up our insecurities, that sort of thing. So talk to me about spiritual warfare as a worship leader. How does it affect you? How do you overcome it? How do you battle it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, whenever you're on the front lines in ministry, whenever you're making a difference for the kingdom of God and the enemy feels threatened, you're going to feel that attack and that just pressure or even just chaos. And I've felt that so many times. I mean, week in and week out. And many times I find that the enemy will attack in a way that's either against our health, the health of our family, my kids getting sick, or even just like chaos in my home, where it just feels like nothing is settled and everybody is just kind of on edge and there's just like this escalating tension and you're like, what is going on? And what we've learned to recognize, Jacob and I both, and we're still working on this, because you have to learn to understand the tactics of the enemy. We have to be wise towards the just the way that he works, his tricks are pretty predictable. And I would say that he doesn't have many up his sleeve, so he'll usually just go the same direction. It might just be with different people or different circumstances, but it might look very similar. And so I think it's just really important for us to be wise to the schemes of the enemy and to be able to call him out and just say, you have no authority, you have no jurisdiction, you have no right here, because we are covered in the blood of Jesus. And spiritual warfare, you know, that can be a kind of a scary term, but it's actually very, very real. And it's more real than even what we see in the natural. And so in order to combat that, I think in the natural, it's like communication is key, communicating with your spouse, communicating with the people that are in leadership with you, and making sure that you're keeping short accounts with one another, you're living at peace with all men. And then I think just staying in the Word and staying in prayer and making sure that your heart is in check and just going, God, what is this? And would you open my eyes to things that I can't see? Would you open my eyes to see the schemes of the enemy? And then Scripture is the thing that, and the name of Jesus, I would say, and worship. Those are the three things that sends the enemy running, is just pleading the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, Scripture, and worship. I just said four things, so there you go. But I think that those things are so powerful in our offense, and realizing that we have the victory already. We don't live from a place of defeat. We live from a place of victory. So it's just learning to fight each battle that comes our way, and understanding our weapons of warfare and the tools that we have in our tool belt, the armor of God, Scripture, worship. You know, one of the things that we say at our church in Nashville, I go to a church called The Belonging, is that praise will always precede our miracle. So learning how to worship in the middle of the hardest fight is what's going to bring you through. It's not worshiping after the fact. It's worshiping through it, and that's what is going to usher about this breakthrough. So, yeah, that's a great question.
Okay, you've been on the road a lot with your family, and I think this question may apply to anyone in ministry, especially in stressful seasons. But how do you know when it's too much on your family? Are there times when you think that the weight of ministry might be too much, or there are times when you need to pull back. Tell me about kind of how it weighs on your family.
Yeah. Well, I've had to learn this the hard way, unfortunately, but what we've realized is that margin is so important, and so it is necessary for us just to pay attention. That's just kind of the phrase that I use, is I just want to pay attention to where my family is. And if my kids are, you know, a little more emotional than normal, or they're saying to me, Mom, you're leaving too much, because they'll literally articulate that to me, and they'll say, Mom, I just want you to stay home. You've just been gone too much. Then I just have to take a look at my calendar and go, yeah, you're right. I need to clear some things out. Or I need to just say to my kids, okay, look at the calendar with me. This is what I have left, and these are the days that I have off, and these are the weeks that we'll actually get to be together for a long period of time. And that's helpful for them. But I think that the things that I start to notice is that extra amount of tension, and just feels like kind of swirling chaos, and I just have to take a step back, take a deep breath, look at my kids, look at my husband, and go, all right, is everybody okay? What do we need to do in this season? What does everyone need? You know, is it more time? Is it more attention? Is it just we need some one-on-one kind of, like, let's go out to Chuck E. Cheese, you know, whatever.
Nice.
That.
Nice.
Just some one-on-one time together. And it's been so helpful. And it's something that I'm honestly still growing in, because my tendency is to overcommit. But what I've realized is that when I do that, when I give my yes to anything outside of my home, then I'm essentially giving my no to my family. When my family, I believe, at my core, is my greatest ministry and my longest lasting legacy. And so I have to make sure that my family is healthy. And if they're not healthy, then nothing else that I do is really going to matter. That's how I kind of look at it, that if I've got to have my foundation right, I've got to have my home in order. And that doesn't mean that, like, my home is always clean. Like, my house is a mess right now, but that's okay, because I spent the morning playing My Little Ponies with my daughter, you know, and that's what matters. And so I'm learning just to put aside the to-do list. And it's hard for me. It's so hard, because I see all these things that need to get done, and I can just kind of tinker while I'm playing. And Frankie's, my daughter's like, Mom, can you just play with me? And I'm like, oh, sorry, yes, got distracted by the things I need to do. But I think it's just about being present and paying attention and noticing what are the needs, and having these open conversations, and getting my kids to talk, and actually just being engaged with them is so helpful. And then being able to assess from there, okay, we need some extra margin here. We need some extra time or space just to be together here. And it's really, really significant. And then that fills up their love tank for a little bit. And you just go, okay, Mommy's going to be in a season of heavy ministry and where I'm working a lot, but it's for good, and I will always come back, and this is what God has called me to. And sometimes I'm able to take my kids with me, and they're able to be a part of it, and that's really special too, and that's something that I hope to do a little more of as they get older.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Hey guys, I hope you were encouraged today from Meredith. We will continue our conversation next week on the topic of what the heart of a worship leader looks like. If you haven't checked out Meredith's music, I want to encourage you to do so. Just go to meredithandrews.com. You can buy music, check out her tour dates, get merchandise, see photos, and more. That's meredithandrews.com. And be on the lookout for her new live EP that is dropping slowly over the next few months. Live worship recordings that will encourage your heart and your soul. meredithandrews.com. Here's where to find her. For additional resources for your team and more on this episode of the podcast, you can visit the show notes page at thechurchmediapodcast.com/176. And while you're there, take a dive into the archives. Bounce around based on the topic of your interest. You can click on an episode, listen to the full show, get additional resources for your team, see videos, and more. thechurchmediapodcast.com.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I'll wrap my conversation with Meredith about worship leading. I ask her about insecurities, how to wrestle with being seen on stage, and more. That's next week. In 2 weeks, I'll welcome Kathleen Cook to the show. Kathleen is a founding partner and vice president at Cook Pictures in Hollywood. She's an award-winning actress and key creative leader. She's a national speaker and adjunct professor. She has years of experience in creating media for the church and knows what it takes to help churches and ministries enhance their worship experiences. She'll join me in 2 weeks. Take a minute today and follow us on Instagram, if you would. Just search 1230 Media on Insta to find us. Shoot us a message and let us know that you're out there, and we'll send you a coupon code for some worship media as our gift to you. So follow us on Instagram and all of our social media platforms, if you would. And thank you guys for listening. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.